Our reading for the sermon this morning comes from the book of Genesis in chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Last couple of weeks, we've been going through kind of a mini-series looking at thankfulness and happiness and contentment and how that plays a part in our faith, in our spiritual lives. As we look at thankfulness today especially, it may seem odd with the passage of Scripture that we're talking about thankfulness with. We're talking about essentially the fall of when Adam and Eve took a bite of the forbidden fruit and found themselves naked and exposed. But I invite you to hear these words with thankfulness in mind, starting in chapter 3 of Genesis at verse 1, going through about verse 7. Now a serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of God for us, people of God. Thanks be to God. When I think about, you know, thankfulness, I mean, one of the first images that comes to my mind is that of Thanksgiving, of that time when we as a culture, as a country, as a society have set aside as a time to be thankful. And it is a good time. I'm glad that we have a time set aside for thankfulness, to be grateful for what we have, to spend time with our loved ones. It is a good thing. But I think we do a disservice to ourselves when we restrict our thankfulness and our gratitude to just that one day a year. I believe as a people of faith, as a people who are searching after God and searching, you know, for that contentment and that happiness and that joy that can come from our faith, I believe thankfulness and gratitude play a role in that, of being a people of God. Thankfulness is a part of our story. There are so many moments throughout Scripture where, you know, an offering of thanks was given, you know, throughout the Old Testament. There's moments when Christ would give thanks. There's moments when Paul would give thanks. Many of Paul's letters start, you know, and end, you know, with statements of thankfulness and gratitude towards the people he was writing to or talking about their faith. Now, our faith is filled with thankfulness. And at an intellectual level, I mean, we can get behind thankfulness and gratitude quite easily. I mean, it's easy, I believe, for us to think and to ponder and consider that, yes, we should be thankful for what we have and for all the things that we have. You know, that's something, though, we can get behind. But the problem with that so often is that we stop right there, rather than taking it deeper into our faith or into our lives, that spirit and attitude of thankfulness and gratitude. Now, there's a lot been said in the popular media and other writings and the news, magazines, talking about how gratitude and thankfulness can be transformative. And I believe they are onto something when the secular media is onto something when they're writing about this. But as a people of faith, we see no thankfulness as a way of connecting with our God, not just something we do to make ourselves feel good. I do believe there is, you know, some positive benefit to our mood when we are thankful and we're grateful. But for our faith, it's a way of connecting with God. Now, in this reading here from Genesis, if I had, say, on Thanksgiving, you know, holiday, opened this, you know, passage of scripture up and started reading this at the Thanksgiving Day table, that would be an interesting moment right there of talking about the forbidden fruit, perhaps right before I have cherry pie or something like that. We could, you know, open this up right there. But when we look at this passage of scripture, we see this, though. We often read it of it as the fall of humanity, the moment in which people sinned for the first time and found themselves, you know, fallen. They found themselves exposed. They had the knowledge of good and evil. But I believe this is a story about thankfulness, or more directly, a story of not being thankful or grateful for what you have. Now, I think a lot of us, though, we can identify, you know, with the woman here. We can identify, you know, with the husband, you know, in this story with Adam and Eve. We can identify with them. And I believe we do kind of approach, perhaps, our thankfulness and our gratitude in this manner. You know, we come into it, you know, knowing it's a good thing. It's what we need to do. This is a direction we needed to go with. But then something comes our way and makes us think about what we have, you know, be it something material, perhaps it's a relationship, perhaps a phase in life. Something comes into that of where we start comparing. And the serpent here in this story, you know, comes in and is acknowledging that, you know, all this fruit, all this food that's in the Garden of Eden, you know, they could have all that there, like all of it, they could have all of it, including the one that they are forbidden to have, the one that God said, you know, you can have everything else but this one. And the serpent comes in and usurps, changes that teaching from God. I think our thankfulness and our gratitude gets hijacked in the same way. We'll be content with what we have, knowing that we have way more than we need, that we have things that are sustaining us, giving us life, that bring us joy, that bring us happiness, all these things. And then an ad comes on the television, or we read something, or we come across something in conversation, and then we start thinking, oh, I could have a little bit more. That serpent, I believe, can take many forms in our life. It doesn't have to be that serpent. It can come in that comparison. It can come in that conversation. It can come in those moments we're least expecting. But I believe for us, the people of faith, we don't have to fall into the trap that Adam and Eve did right here in this story. We don't have to fall into this trap where we see ourselves, yes, we have all these things, we have all that we need to sustain our life and to bring us our joy and help us be connected with our God. We don't have to fall into that trap thinking we need more to be happier, that we need something else to be happier. I am a firm believer in the statement that comparison is the thief of joy. And I also believe comparison can be the thief of thankfulness and gratitude. It's all too easy to start looking out, knowing that, yes, we have what we need, but we might see somebody else has maybe a little bit more. Or maybe not a bit more, maybe something different. And we start thinking we need that to be happy. We'll need this object, this relationship, this, you know, job title. You know, you can go on all these different things that we could have in our lives. And we start going down that path of comparison, knowing full well we have what we need. But for some reason, that comparison takes away our joy. It takes away our thankfulness and our gratitude. Now, if you're sitting there thinking that, you know, comparison, if you're thinking of comparison of, you know, perhaps yourself, if you're trying to improve a skill or try to, you know, build up, you know, a talent or an ability, you know, there's a balance in all this. So be listening for that as well as you're considering this. But when we're thinking about our thankfulness, we're thinking about what we're grateful for, what we have been blessed with, what God has shared with us. Those are things I believe that we are called to hold on to, that we're called to be thankful for, and to not let that serpent creep into our lives saying, no, you need just a little bit more to be satisfied, to be happier. As a people of faith, I believe we are called to look towards our relationship with God, our connection with Christ and with the Holy Spirit, to be that source of joy and contentment, to be that grounding of how we interact with all that we have, with all the people in our lives. That is our foundation. And Adam and Eve here, they had that foundation. They had that grounding. They had what they needed from God. And I believe for us as well, especially as Christians, as followers of Christ, we have that grounding. We have that hope. We have that grace. We have that assurance of everlasting life, that assurance of the life that is with us now through Christ. And so I believe we are called to be thankful for those things and to ground our gratitude in our connection with God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, let us not fall into that trap. Let us not fall into that trap of comparison. Let us not fall into that trap of just one more thing. For I believe those things can take away our contentment, can take away our joy, can take away, more importantly, our connection with our God, our connection with the people whom we're close with, and can bring that brokenness and sin into our lives. Instead of thinking about what we don't have, let us think about what we do have through our God, through our Savior, and through the Holy Spirit. Let us ground ourselves in those things, knowing that we have what we need to survive, that we have that grounding, and we are blessed with much. I believe with that perspective and that approach, we can find that contentment. We can find that joy in our God. We can find that happiness that we search for. And it's a joy and a contentment that is everlasting and carries us forward. So let us embrace it. Let us live into it and be the people that God calls us to be now and forevermore. Amen.